Esther chapter 4. You know the story of Esther. A little teenage gal gets carried off into captivity, ultimately ends up being the queen. The children of Israel are being persecuted, and in fact, a law has been passed which could potentially forever destroy the nation of Israel, the Jews. And Esther's cousin ends up telling her, or getting a message to her, you've got to do something. You're in the house of the king. And if anybody's going to do anything, you're the only one in a position to do this. She's scared to death, a young teenage girl, not any older than probably some of you here. And she understands that to go to the king is certain. You don't go to the king without being beckoned. Let's start at verse number 9. And Hatak came and told Esther the words of Mordecai. That was that she needed to go in and do something about this. Again, Esther spake to Hatak and gave him commandment unto Mordecai. All the king's servants and the people of the king's providences do know that whatsoever, whether a man or a woman, shall come unto the king into the inner court, who is not called, there is one law of his to put him to death, except such to whom the king hold out the golden scepter. She understands to go in there without being invited could mean her death, that he may live, but I have not been called to come into the king these 30 days. And they told to Mordecai Esther's words. Then Mordecai commanded to answer Esther, think not with thyself that thou shalt escape in the king's house more than all the Jews. He said, you're Jewish also, Esther, and you're not going to escape what happens to the rest of us. For if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then shall the enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place, but thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed. And who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this? And lots of messages have been preached on that last phrase, who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this? But the challenge that I have for everybody in this room, not just these young people, is found back in verse number 11. When Mordecai got message to her that she needed to go in there, and she said, I can't do that. What was her statement? The king shall hold out the tomb, the king shall hold out the golden scepter, that he may live. But what? I have not been called. She says, I've not been called to do this work that you've asked me to do. And Mordecai said, you know, I really could care less if you've been called or not. You're the only one in a position to be able to do something about it. You've got to go. Who knows but what you've been called to the kingdom for such a time as this. And folks, I understand that there's a lot of people in this room who don't feel like you've been called to preach. Frankly, it doesn't matter. The need that you have in this community and the need that we have in our country and the need that we have in the around the world for Christians to stand up and make a difference supersedes this idea of being called. And I'm not negating God's call on an individual. I believe a young man needs to be called to be a pastor. I believe he needs to be called to be a missionary. I believe he needs to be called to be evangelist. But folks, you don't have to be called to help out when there's a need. I appreciated, preacher, having the young folks in here. This is like Daily Vacation Bible School. I got saved in Daily Vacation Bible School. A little lady, an older woman, lived next door to this family who had two little kids. She stopped by and asked those parents who never went to church if she could take those two little kids with her to go to church, to Daily Vacation Bible School. And those parents said, fine, help yourself, get them out of the house. You know how it works. So that lady picked those two kids up, took them to Daily Vacation Bible School. As far as I know, that woman never sang in a choir, never passed out a tract, never taught a Sunday school class. But she did what she could do. And that was take two little kids to church, your typical bus story. Now what she didn't understand was that little 8-year-old boy who ended up getting saved one day would become the vice president of Providence Baptist College. That was me. Folks, you don't know what you have on your bus route. You don't know what you have sitting beside you. But the greater message than that is everybody can do something. And this challenge isn't just to you young people as far as college is concerned, though it certainly applies to you. We've got to have you. You're the one that's going to step up and take our place here, and it's going to happen real soon. And you have got to be serious-minded. The Lord saved you. He saved you out of hell. He saved you for heaven, but he saved you to serve here on this earth. And it's pretty ungrateful, an individual that sees a soldier walk by in a parade at Veterans Day and turns their back on him or sits down. Pretty ungrateful, I think. Folks, I was in the army for 15 years. I understand the sacrifice that these young men and women make. And when one of them comes by me, just the other day, Cindy and I were out to eat, and a young guy had come back from Iraq, and they were having a party for him. I didn't know this guy from anybody. But I made a point when I left that restaurant to go by and say, thank you for serving. Because he's on my behalf. He's serving on my behalf, and I appreciate that. But folks, you're pretty ungrateful if a God in heaven sent his son to die on the cross for you and you trust him as your Savior and then you turn around and do nothing for him. I don't see any difference whatsoever. And according to this passage here, little Esther was absolutely scared to death. She had not been called, but she was in a position to do something, and you know the end of the story. Scared or not, she went into the king and preserved the nation of Israel. That little woman might not have gone in there. Who knows what how the future of the Jews would have been changed.
Right.
And folks, all of us in this room, there's something we can do. All of us in this room. If you're born again, if you're saved, there is something you can do. Sing in a choir. Work in a nursery.
Amen.
Teach a Sunday school class.
Amen.
Pick up two little neighbor kids and take them to church. All of us can do something, folks. And really, you know, preacher, I think that's what I appreciated about Brother Gomez all those years ago when Cindy and I decided to get out of the service and go on staff at Northwest. We had prayed about getting out and going into the ministry all the time I was in the service, but the Lord just never opened the door. We got to Northwest. I'd been in for 15 years. I figured maybe the Lord's just going to let me go out to 20 and retire and then go into the ministry after that. But we landed in a ministry where the man in the pulpit, just like your preacher here, said, let's train our young people to be great Christians and let the Lord worry about calling them after that. He says, Christianity is something that we do all the time. It's a lifestyle. Serving the Lord ought to be the most fun, the most challenging and rewarding thing that you can possibly do, whether you're up in a pulpit preaching like this or if you're out running a bus route someplace. That's a way of life. The Lord saved us, and out of gratitude for him and out of sense of obligation to others, we ought to just be excited about serving him all the time. And when we got at Northwest Bible Baptist Church, Cindy and I said, you know, this is where we want to raise our kids. Good perspective. Good balance. When it's time to play, go play. When it's time to work, work. When it's time to serve, serve. And from that time on, that was 1992, Cindy and I have been on staff at Northwest because of that approach to the Christian life. Now, folks, as far as I know, I've never been called to the ministry, or called to preach, as far as I know. But I've been called to serve, just like the rest of you in this room. Now, not to any glory or honor of my own, but Cindy and I had the opportunity. I pastored a church when I was in the service in Germany. The preacher left. I was the song leader. And they said, well, you're already up there. Go ahead and preach. That was my call to preach. That happened when we were in Alabama. Same thing happened. The preacher left. You're already up there. You go ahead and preach. I don't know what this is about me going to churches and the preachers leave, but we... We got to Korea, and there wasn't a church there. We started a couple of Bible studies, and within a couple of months, we had about probably 40 or 50 folks coming. We were meeting Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, Bible studies. And I called Brother Larry Brown, who was our home church at the time, and said, preacher, what are we going to do? We don't have a good church over here. And he goes, well, let's see. You've got a Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night services. Yep. Do you have Sunday school? Well, yeah. Do you have a choir? Well, we have some folks get up and sing. Uh-huh. Do you have a nursery? Yeah. Do you have a bus ministry? Well, we got a couple of vans to go around picking people up. He says, well, what do you call what you have? Oh, okay. So we organized Yongsong Baptist Church, which is the largest church of the American military in Korea today. Folks, not because of me, but because of the message little Esther had. Lord, I haven't been called to preach. Well, just do what I tell you to do, and we'll worry about the rest of it after that. Folks, the same thing's true with you. I'm just a soldier. I sat in pews just like... But when the door was open and the opportunity came, scared? Absolutely. What do I know about starting a church? Nothing. Folks, I've never been to Bible college. I just run one. Go figure. But the Lord can use you. The Lord can use every one of us in this room. even to the... Do you understand, folks? There probably wouldn't be a church in Alabama today, or a church in Germany today, or a church in Korea today, or this guy, Vice President of Providence Baptist College, if some elderly woman hadn't picked two kids up, put them in her car, and taken them to daily vacation Bible school. None of that stuff would have happened. And all of us can do that. So that's the challenge today. Folks, I don't care what how senior you are or how young you are. God's got something for you. And the greatest thing you can ever do is find out what it is and then do that. Young people, a great place to find God's will for your life is at Bible college. If you don't know if you've been called to preach or not, we'll give Bible college a chance. Give it a year. My son Mick, and I think it was a product of some of the stories that I've jumped out of airplanes, helicopters, jumped off of things with ropes. I've done all kinds of stuff. And I think as a product of that, my son was interested in going into special forces. But he listened to his preacher and he listened to me, and he went to Bible college for a year, and then another, and then another. And then his senior year, he said, "You know, Dad, I think I could help a preacher with his youth group someplace." Today, he's one of the youth pastors for Brother Terry Angel up in Bourbonnais. Because of some big call of God on his life. And folks, I'm not minimizing that. If you've been called, that's wonderful. But the vast majority of you in here are not going to be called to full-time ministerial service as a pastor, missionary, or evangelist. But you are called to serve. And I just challenge you, as doors are open, walk through them. Give the Lord a chance. Too many young people say, "God can never use me." Why don't you let him be the determiner of that? And Bible college is a great place to take that first step.